Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for this and another opportunity to minister to these, your precious sheep. Thank you, Lord, that revelation knowledge will flow freely, uninterrupted and unhindered by any satanic or demonic force. Father, I pray that you will speak through my vocal cords and think through my mind, none of me and all of you. And Lord, we give you the honor and the glory and the praise for it all. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and everybody said amen. Amen. Praise God. In the West Coast Believers Convention, I want to pick up where I left off. I had the Lord on my last session that I ministered instruct me to begin to teach on the area of faith, and I heard it like this: help, my faith is not working. And to begin to talk about all of those areas that could possibly hinder your faith from operating. And then in the next session, I'm going to talk about faith in the fire and knowing what to do when you're going through certain situations and circumstances, that it's not always the devil. Sometimes, you know, you got to realize when you create an airplane, there's got to be a test pilot to make sure it works. Praise God. And then finally, why would God allow my faith to be put on trial? You see, ladies and gentlemen, one thing we got to understand is no matter how long you live, if you're going to have victory in your life, you're going to have to constantly understand that it's got to be done by faith. Amen. So let's begin in four areas, and let's establish a foundation here. Let's begin in Habakkuk chapter 2, then Romans chapter 1, then Galatians chapter 3, and Hebrews chapter 10. Habakkuk, table of contents. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. Let's read verse 4 out loud together. Ready? Read. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live. Y'all can't read louder than that? What's wrong with you? Let's read that again. Ready? Read. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just. All right. Who shall live by faith? Who shall live by faith? The just shall live how? All right. Go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Ooh, I feel like preaching tonight. Spitting, preaching, dancing, rocking, rolling. You're going to get this tonight if I got to cut your head open. You're getting this. You understand? Stuff that's not working is going to start working tonight. I don't think you understand what I'm saying. We're getting ready to go to war. We're getting ready to have a good fight tonight. Now look at this. Romans chapter 1, verse 17. Let's read verse 17 out loud together. Ready? Read. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live. Who shall live by faith? Who shall live by faith? Now let's discover who the just are. The just are those who have been declared righteous. The just are those who have accepted Jesus into their life as Lord and Savior. The just are those who have been declared righteous, not because of their goody-goody works, but they have been declared righteous because of what Jesus has done. And when you made Jesus the Lord of your life, you became a part of what Jesus has delivered for us. He is righteous. And when you made him your righteousness, you became the just. Heaven declared you righteous the day you got born again. You were not declared righteous the day you went to 3 revivals, prayed 10 hours a day, and had a perfect week. No, you were declared righteous right out of the mess God delivered you out of, right out of the hole he picked you up out of. The day you said, Jesus, come into my heart, heaven said, you're righteous. The Bible says Abraham believed, hallelujah. He believed. That's what he did. He believed, and it was declared unto him he was the righteousness of God. Please understand who you are. Understand that going to church won't make you righteous, but righteous people go to church. Understand that tithing won't make you righteous, but righteous people tithe. Understand that singing in the choir won't make you righteous, but some righteous people who can sing. See, what we do, we've got to understand that when we make Jesus the Lord of our lives, and we have to have confidence that we have now been made the righteousness of God. We didn't become righteous. We were made righteous. Just like Jesus didn't become sin, he was made sin. He didn't do nothing to be in that position, like you didn't do nothing to be in your position. But we are only righteous because of him. Take him out of the picture and we would all deserve hell. But because he's in our lives, we can boldly declare, I am the righteousness of God. Somebody shouted, I'm the righteous of God. Somebody shout, I am the just. So the just shall live how? The just shall live how? Who shall live by faith? Oh yeah. Oh, now we know who shall live by faith. Who? Those who have been declared righteous. Those who have come out of darkness into the marvelous light. Those who are born again have a prescription now for life. A prescribed way to live. Now that you've been declared righteous, you don't live by the old prescription. So some of you need to go in your spiritual medicine cabinet and throw away all of your old prescriptions. Because you don't live like that no more. You have been declared righteous, and now as the righteousness of God, it is now time for you to discover what righteous people do, how righteous people live, how righteous people speak, how righteous people believe. Hallelujah. All right, now, let's go to Galatians chapter 3. I want the devil's head hurting so hard tonight, Tylenol won't happen. Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. Let's read verse 11 out loud together. Ready, read. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live. By faith. Who shall live by faith?
The just.
Who shall live by faith?
The just
shall live how? By faith. By faith. That's my prescription for life. God created a man and then included with that creation a manual of instruction. So if you don't understand what the manual says, then you might be living in a way or according to a prescription that hasn't been designed for you to live. So this is your prescription. If you're born again, if you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, here is your manual for life. Ignore it and struggle trying to find out how to live. Read it, meditate in it, walk in line with it, and you will know how you are supposed to live, how you're supposed to speak, how you're supposed to act, how you're supposed to respond in the midst of trouble, trial, tribulation, hurt. We're Christians. We saved, born again, foul baptized. You know, the devil doesn't have a defense against a born again, tongue talking Christian who knows what the manual says. Now, Hebrews 10. Verse 38. Let's read verse 38 out loud together. Ready, read. Now the just shall live, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. One more time. The just shall live how? The just shall live how? Who shall live by faith? Who shall live by faith? All right, now, four times we have located in Scripture where it says that the just shall live by faith. Four times we've located the prescription for life for the man who has been declared righteous. Now, you think God's trying to tell us something? He says this is how we live. Which furthermore proves that faith is not a movement, but a way of life. Faith is not a movement, but a prescription. Faith is neither talking about, some people refer to their denominations as their faith. The Baptist faith. No, he's not talking about that. He's talking about the prescription, the way a person is supposed to live once they've been declared righteous. So it's not over with because it's 2007. Because if you're still living and if you're still saved, then you're still going to have to do it according to the prescribed way. By faith. You don't wake up one morning and decide, we don't need to live by faith no more. That's old stuff. No, this is, as long as you inhaling and exhaling, you have to do it according to the prescription. There is no bye-bye faith or we don't need faith no more or God saying a new thing. No, this thing remains right here. We live by faith. That's how we live. For you to say you don't need to live by faith anymore is for you to be sadly deceived. And I tell you, your life is on its way to a destruction because we got to live this way. If it's going to work for us who have been declared righteous, it's going to have to work by faith. The just shall live how? Amen. Now, if we're going to live by faith, then we better understand how to comprehend the prescription. If we're going to live by faith, then we have to make sure we understand what does it mean to live by faith. If we're going to live by something, you better know what that something is. We have to understand in a practical, living manner what it means to live by faith. So let's define faith. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Very familiar scripture. Let's read verse 1 out loud together. Ready? Read. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's good, man. But I can remember when I was born again and I read this, still didn't know how to live it. It was nice. It was even spiritually deep, holy divya. But I didn't know how to live it. All right, let's read the Amplified. Let's put this thing together. Now, faith is the assurance. It is the confirmation. It's the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Now, that's got to be, you got to milk that a little bit. Now, notice what he says here. Now, faith is the assurance, or another way to say assurance is confidence. Everybody shout confidence.
Confidence.
faith is the confidence or the assurance or the confirmation or the title deed. The confirmation, the assurance, the confidence, the title deed. Now, when I think about coming out here this week, I had confidence that I had a room. Because I had a confirmation number. But if I were to come to the desk and say to them, I'm ready to check in, and they say, we apologize, we're full. There's no need to panic. I got a confirmation number. Hold on a minute. Because what that confirmation number means is that somewhere in this hotel, there is a room for Creflo Dollar. What that means is, I don't know if you're going to have to put somebody out. I don't know if y'all got to go build me one right quick. But somewhere in this building, I am assured with great confidence that my room exists somewhere. Because I have the proof that it exists, even though I can't see it. Even though I've never walked in it, I have the evidence that what I can't see or perceive with my senses exists somewhere. So I don't know who's going to build a room. All I know is I'm on my way up. But when I get up there, I'm assured, not by what I see, but by what I know, that there's a room somewhere in this building for Creflo and Taffy Dollar. Do you understand what I'm saying? A title deed works the same way. I don't have to see your automobile to believe you got one. But if you show me evidence of what I can't see, then I know that that automobile exists somewhere. Well, the same thing works with this word. See, what I need is the word. You see, what most folks call faith isn't faith at all. It's just high expectation of the wrong information. But when I get in this word, I have a book of title deeds. Glory be to God. And why the devil telling you you're sick and telling you you ain't going to have this and telling you this wrong? You don't need to get upset. Just get your Bible out. Go get your concordance and find your set of title deeds. Look at it for a while and build confidence that somewhere exists what you're reading right here. Now, that's all you got to hold on to. You can't let that word go. Because that's your title deed. That's your confidence. That's your assurance. Glory to God. And what the devil gonna try to do is inject fear to make you be to make you fear that what you read and what the title deed said won't come to pass. And what you got to do is you got to say, talk to the hand, because the ear ain't listening. I got the title deed. I have the confirmation number. It says by his stripes I'm healed. It says that my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. I can't afford to look at what's going on over there. I got to keep my eyes on the only thing that promises me that I'm going to get what I can't see. If I let you take this from me, then I don't have anything left. So I ain't got time to be bothered with what's going on around me. I got to look right on. I ain't got time to move my eyes, because if I do, I might get distracted. An intrusion of the mind to cause confusion. So you talk all you want to, but I'm going to keep my eyes on the word, and I'm going to keep speaking his word. And I know it exists somewhere. I don't know where it is right now. Don't know how long it's going to take to get to me, but I know it exists somewhere, because I got the confirmation and the title deed. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Oh, Jesus, the faith army is about to rise up strong. While everybody else trying to figure out how they're going to make it work, we're going to be walking by faith and not by sight. I tell you, that title deed in your Bible is still some good. I tell you, that confirmation is still some good. I'm telling you, that assurance is still some good. Don't you let Mama Nim, Pookie Nim, and Chiquita Nim talk you out of what this Bible promises you. We walk by faith and not by sight. And so I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I hear. I'm not moved by what I feel. But I am moved by what's in those 66 books in that Bible. Somebody shout amen. Praise God. Now, let's take all that and let's come up with a definition we can work on tonight to take us through this. Faith is a practical expression of your confidence that you have in God and in His Word. A practical expression of your confidence that you have in God and in His Word. When you walked in here tonight, you expressed your confidence in that chair's ability to support you. And without giving it a whole lot of thought, you sat down. Are you listening to me? Well, that's what I'm telling you. That's where we got to get where the Word of God is concerned. We got to quit making this complicated. We got to spend enough time with it so we can give a practical expression of our confidence. Say that word, confidence.
Confidence.
A practical expression of our confidence. Say confidence.
Confidence.
So now understand what the devil's going to be after. He is after your confidence. He is after your confidence. Now, that's why he's so working so hard to seduce you to sin. Why? Listen, the blood of Jesus can take care of your sin, ladies and gentlemen, but sin makes cowards of men. Sin is what will bring the guilt and the condemnation. It attacks your confidence. And he'll work on you all week long about something you did a year ago if you don't learn how to forgive yourself and learn how to have faith and confidence in what the blood of Jesus has been shed for you. He's after your confidence. He wants your confidence. He does not. Listen, the greatest fear that Satan can bring upon Christian people is the fear that what God promised won't come to pass. He wants to shake and rock your confidence. You have got to understand, in order to give a practical expression of your confidence in God and in His Word, you can't neglect the area of confidence and assurance. There's got to be an assurance. There's got to be a little bit of cockiness in every Christian. You understand what I'm saying? You got to walk around knowing that you know. You can't be going around, I kind of think I'm healed. Well, the money might come. The Lord might help my marriage. Nobody want to be like you. You're too shaky. Want to follow somebody who know that they know that they know that they know until what they know begins to affect their appearance. And when you see them, you see confidence. You can see confidence. Let me show you something. Come on up here. Glory be to God. Amen, 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 amen. Sit right down. Confidence. Somebody shout confidence. Confidence. The practical expression of your confidence in God and in His Word. Stand right here. What you say, boy? Let me show you something before I show you this illustration. Go to, let's see. Hebrews 10. It's back up there. Verse 35. Hebrews 10, 35. Cast not away therefore your what? For it has a great recompense of what? So it seems to me like if we get rid of your confidence, we get rid of your potential to get reward. Meet Mr. Prosperity. Mr. Prosperity comes right out of the Word of God. Whether you believe it or not, he comes right out of the Word. I've been hanging around Mr. Prosperity for a while. Me and Mr. Prosperity, we have really gotten to know each other. So I've developed confidence in Mr. Prosperity's ability to do what he said he can do. meet Mr. Healy. Just met him tonight myself. Mr. Healing came from the same place Mr. Prosperity came from. Mr. Healing has the ability to do what Mr. Healing can do. I just don't have no confidence in Mr. Healing because I've been spending more time with Mr. Prosperity than I have Mr. Healing. Now, it doesn't mean that Mr. Healing can't do his job. I just don't have no confidence in him. You see what happens when you have confidence in folks you spend time with? You ready, boy? When you spend time with the word or whatever word you're spending time on, you can just, hey, what'd you say that now? But I'm even thinking you just got confidence in Mr. Prosperity's ability to catch you. You have confidence in that. What's up, man?
What's up, man? How you doing?
Notice doubt supported by fear. So I just don't know if he can do what he said. Okay, that went pretty good. Now we just got to spend some time together.
All right, you can push me up now.
I see that, the doubt coming back now. But you got to spend time because he has the ability to do what he's supposed to do, just like he got the ability to do what he's supposed to do. It's not Mr. Prosperity and Mr. Healing, it's Mr. Confidence. And confidence has got to be developed. So I'm developing confidence in Mr. Healing. Well, say that now, yeah. And so my confidence allows me to do with Mr. Healing what I do with Ms. Prosperity. We started off a little slow. We braced ourselves a little bit. But after a while, the confidence I have in Mr. Prosperity. Hey, what you say there? Shaka Zulu, what? You get over here without looking. What you say there? Shaka Zulu, same thing. Now, Mr. Healing is producing for me like Mr. Prosperity is producing for me, but I had to begin to develop my confidence so I can give a practical expression of my confidence in Mr. Prosperity and Mr. Healing. So whatever's not working, don't blame it on the word. You need some confidence developed. Thank you, y'all. Now listen to me for a moment. If there would be a demonic enemy against confidence, it would be something called self-doubt. Always questioning yourself. Always feeling guilty and condemned about something that you're doing. Oh, dear God, while you're praying, oh, you feel like you ought to be up doing something. While you're reading the Bible, you feel like you ought to be praying. My God, you're black, now you think you ought to be white. You're white, now you think you ought to be black. You just always questioning everything that go on. What self-doubt really is double-mindedness. But now listen to me. What is it that brings confidence even when self-doubt tries to come in and destroy that confidence? What gives us confidence is not what we have done for God, but what God has done for us. Did you hear what I just said? What gives confidence is not what we have done for God, but what God has done for us. Hallelujah. And I start looking at what he's done for me. Praise God. And I get in that word and I develop in this word and I begin to walk in confidence that God will do what he said. So maybe your faith is not working because your confidence has not been developed. And that won't happen if you don't spend time in the word. Spend time. Somebody says, how long should I meditate in this word until it start talking back to you? You stand there until it say something. Amen. Now, let's go to Galatians chapter 5. Praise God. So the first thing that could possibly be dealing with your faith, and one of the reasons why it may not be working, is you got to start developing your confidence. We are highly developed in the area of born again and salvation. Well, we spent time with it. We spent time hearing it. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word of God on that particular subject. You got to spend time with it, you see. No matter what's going on, when it comes to operating by faith, you're going to have to check your confidence level just like you check your gas if you're trying to get from point A to point Z. You got to be honest with yourself and find out where you are. Galatians, 5, verse 6. Let's read verse 6 out loud together. Ready? Read. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith. Faith worketh how?
By love.
Faith worketh how?
By love.
Oh. So the just shall live by
faith.
Or a practical expression of your confidence in God and his word, and all that's going to work by
love.
So another thing that could be messing with your faith, another reason why your faith may not be working is because your love ain't working. See, we're trying to achieve abundance and trying to achieve the abundant life through faith, but and you can do it, but you got to understand that first things first. First things first. You got to understand the right priority. You know, in our country and really around the world, we are constantly facing a character issue. We're facing the issue where people want to execute the principles. But not have the proper support for those principles and have the right kind of character. And ladies and gentlemen, you'll never go past the level of your character. Never. Never. We have perfected phoniness in the body of Christ. We know how to shock our Zulu good. We know how to jerk. Holy Ghost. And sometimes it's simple gas, not the Holy Ghost. Maybe simple demon, but not the Holy Ghost. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't go past the level of your character. See, first of all, we make habits and then those habits turn around and make us. And I know there are things that, I don't want to hear that right now. But, we're talking about love being a priority in our life, and then faith is now able to work. But faith can't work if love is not in place. Now, when most people hear the word love, they want to begin to look at it and define it from their perspective. Most of the time, especially Christian people, we still are not making the distinction between emotional love and supernatural love, agape love. Emotional love is it's always based on your feelings. It's based on your emotions. It's based on, I need you to love me in order for me to love you. Emotional love wants to love what's lovely. It wants to love who will give to you and all those kind of things. And we don't have a clue about what it means to really begin to operate in this unconditional love. We do while we sit in that church, but then under attack. Under attack, we're going to go back to the thing that we're used to doing. But when you talk about agape love, you're talking about me loving you, and I don't need you to love me back in order for me to love you. This love I'm talking about is not based on your emotions. It's not based on your feelings. Only a Christian filled with the agape love of God has the ability to love his enemies. Please remember, when you got saved, the Holy Spirit poured the love of God in your heart. And God is love. And every time you show up with that agape love and release it in messy situations, you release God on that thing, and he's able to do exceedingly abundantly more than what you can ask or think, because you delivered love to that situation. You delivered love to that situation. And faith now functions and operates by love. Praise God. Now let's look at something. Let's just go to Matthew. Because if I go to this other thing, I'm not going to finish. Well, let's go to the other thing. Let's go to Mark. Let's just flat go at it. Let's go to Mark. Verse 17. If you was in the spirit, you'd know what chapter. Of course, if I was in the spirit, I'd have told you what chapter. Mark chapter 10, verse 17. Praise God. All right, let's go with this thing now. Mark chapter 10, verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" What do I have to do so I can inherit eternal life, or Zoe life, or the God kind of life, or the very essence of God? What do I need to do to get this? Not just what do I need to do to have a good life, but what can I do to have the essence of God's life, his Zoe, his, you know, like, what do I have to do to have a piece of the rock? How do I get it working? You go back to the book of Genesis, and God breathed into Adam the breath of life. That's that Zoe he put in him. He put that Zoe in Adam. And that Zoe life on the inside of Adam got on Adam's mind and brain and enabled him to name every species of being that was created without one day of schooling. But Zoe life impacted and affected his mind. That Zoe life flowed out of Adam, got on his mind, then it spilled over on his physical body, and man did not need artificial clothing, because Zoe life now begins to take care of everything that he needs in life. So he was walking around in the glory, had no need of artificial clothing, could not see his nakedness, because Zoe life was intact. And like every other thing that was put on the earth that had its own natural coat, Zoe life was the natural coat for a man. That Zoe life got on that physical body, and then the Zoe life spilled off his body and began to affect everything he walked around, everything he touched, everything he showed up around. Zoe life. And then he disobeyed God. He disobeyed God, gave birth to self, and Zoe life was stunted. Notice what happened. They had to cover themselves with fig leaves to cover their nakedness. They had a perfectly good glory coat, and now they got to go find some sticky fig leaves, and I'm sure they got stuck a few times. So now we got to figure out, how do we get this Zoe life working back into man like it worked in man when God put it in Adam? Jesus showed up in John. He said in John 10:10, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Did you see how he showed up in the garden? He showed up killing, stealing, and destroying. He showed up what he did. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He said, look, but I come that you might have Zoe life and have it like Adam in abundance to the full till it overflows. And the way I'm going to do it is I'm going to give you my word. And I'm going to put that Zoe life in my word. The life is in the Father and the life is in the Son. And the word became life and it dwelt amongst men. And every time you show up at meetings like this and you come to the sessions and you get filled with the word and it spills the life on the inside of you and it starts affecting the way you think. It starts affecting your mind. You get smarter and it won't be long before that Zoe life will begin to affect your mortal flesh. Now, all of that will now translate in the type of life you will live. All of that now will translate. You get Zoe life in abundance. It will produce in your life abundance. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, he said, what do I have to do to get this eternal life? Rich man, rich young ruler. So they just showed me money by itself won't make you whole. Money by itself is a part of wholeness, but it doesn't make you whole by itself. Money by itself cannot define the prosperous life. To say that prosperity is money is incorrect. That's a part of the truth. It's more than money. It includes money, but it's not just money. Hallelujah. Now get your money now. Somebody say, well, you know, like the Bible says, money is the root of all evil. The Bible doesn't say that. It ain't nowhere in the Bible. Money is the root of all evil. I hear preachers on preaching programs saying, you know, like the Bible says, money is the root of all evil. Do you read? You just show me you don't read your Bible. No, it says the love of money or a wrong relationship with the material world. An incorrect relationship. If you want to know what's evil, I'll tell you what's evil. Having no money is an evil thing. You don't believe me? Don't have no money when it's time to get your wife half fixed. You're going to see an evil woman. Not being able to pay your bills when it's cold outside, that's evil. Walking around everywhere you got to go, your feet hurt. That's an evil thing, man. Now watch this. Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. You're lacking something. I'm telling you, this may be the one thing you lack where your faith is concerned. One thing thou lackest. Now go to Luke real quick. Luke 10. I won't spend time here, but every chance I get to show these three scriptures, I take advantage of it. You need to say it over and over and over again. Luke 10, 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Somebody shout, same question. And he said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live, and of course live this life that he's asking about. He gave the answer. The answer was, the answer to this question, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Love the Lord your God all your hope, with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. A man's strength is his wealth, his position in life. And with all thy mind, and love pooking them and mumming them. Because you can't say you love God whom you've never seen and not love the people you see every day. And then he says, you've answered right, this do and you shall live. Over the last few years, no matter what series I start preaching, I end up back here. It's right back here. Oh, but Brother Dawes, my marriage is not working. Yeah, that's because you're not responding in love. Yeah, but you don't understand what they did. It doesn't matter what they did. You're not responding in love. Love never fails. Yeah, but you don't understand what they said. Oh, no, it doesn't matter what they said to you. You're not responding in love. Because if you'll begin to respond in love, you will demand a different response from your spouse. But you ain't responding in love. You busy pointing fingers talking about they need to change. And the biggest change that you can make is you. Well, I'm the man of the house. Well, you look like the fool of the house because you ain't responding in love. And your faith ain't working. And so if you're not responding in love, then your faith is not working. Then you're not living according to the prescription for life. Dude, you're a wreck going somewhere to happen. And that little TV box, whoo, boy, that thing is trying its best to do a job of taking authority over the way you think. Mm-hmm. Oh, ain't nothing wrong with the TV. That's what's wrong with you faith people. Always telling folk what they can't do. No. I ain't telling you what you can't do. You can go to hell if you want to. You can, in fact, you can do anything you want to do. Because you are a free moral agent. But doing everything you want to do may not be the thing that you need to do. I mean, sure, you can sit up and you can just feed your thinking with everything that comes through the boob tube all day long. Yeah, you can. You absolutely can. But you know what? At the end of the day, you're going to have to deal with the consequences of all those seeds that you put on the inside. Letting CNN tell you how to think. Letting Oprah tell you how to think. Letting all these folks tell you how to think. And won't give God a 5 minutes to tell you how you ought to think. Because the way you think is what's shaping your life. Words and images determine the way you think. You have to understand the anatomy of life. You got to understand how it works in order to appreciate when you come to faith meetings and hear people tell you, watch what you hear, watch what you see, and watch what you say. Nobody's doing that to try to be cute. Nobody's doing that to try to put you in bondage. Because when you understand the anatomy of life, it comes down to what you see, what you hear, what you say. Words and images determine the way you think. How's your thinking today? What is your thinking lined up with today? Huh? Is it lined up with God's word or is it lined up with one of those them shows? What's your thinking? What's your thinking lined up with it? Because the way you think, it will determine how you feel. How you feel. How you feel. Because how you feel is based on how you think, and how you think is based on those words and images. So words determine how you think determine how you feel will determine the decisions you'll make. Oh yeah, how you feel will determine what kind of decisions you make. Somebody says, I feel depressed. Well, you got to change what you're thinking and change what you're listening to. Because what you listen to determine how you're thinking, and the way you're thinking determine how you're feeling. And if you don't change how you feel, if you're not feeling in line with the word of God, then you're getting ready to make a decision that doesn't line up with the word of God. Then your decisions will determine your actions. What you do is going to be based on what you've decided, which is going to be based on how you feel, which is going to be based on how you've been thinking, which is going to be based on what you've been looking at and listening to and saying. Because words determine your thoughts, and thoughts determine how you feel, your emotions. And when your emotions don't line up with the word of God, your negative emotions will lead you away from the word of God. And now you're making decisions that are outside of the word of God. And now your decisions determine your actions. Ooh, and the way you act will now determine your habits. You're now going to make a habit, and that habit is getting ready to make you, and that habit is going to determine the kind of character you got. Character is what people have come to expect from you. Character is doing what's right, causes right. Character is, it means that you don't go by the bank and they gave you too much money and you ride off talking about, praise the Lord, the wealth of the wicked has come into the hands of the righteous. That ain't character. You go back and you get that money. But you know what? If based on what you've been hearing and thinking and feeling and decisions and actions and habits, you might run off and say something like that. And then your character, ladies and gentlemen, will bring you to your destination. And faith is the prescription that guarantees that you'll end up in the right place, doing the right things at the right time. Getting faith-filled words, thinking thoughts that are faith-filled. Hallelujah. Feeling like faith-filled people feel. Making decisions in line with the word of the living God. Your actions now line up with God's word. Hallelujah. Your habits are godly habits. And now your character is godly character. And you end up in a godly destination. You can't dismiss faith. It's your lifeguard, baby. But it ain't working if your love ain't in place. Well, I hear you, Reverend, but I've been hurt. I don't feel like loving them right now. You don't know what they did to me. You don't understand. My husband cheated on me. And I wanted to kill him, but if it weren't for the Lord, I tell you, I'd have killed him. You got that right. If it wasn't for the word, maybe you would have did something that stupid. But there's something about Christian people that when we go through rough times, when we're weak in our human strength, that's when we become strong in our divine strength. Are y'all listening to me? Now go to Matthew 22 real quick. Let's get this. Love, the key to my faith working. I mean, I really got to practice it. I can't go around talking about it and not practice it. I got to do it. I got to exercise. I got to walk in it. It can't be one of those religious things we talk about when we come to church. It's got to be something we do. Something we work on. Something we, even if you fall in, you get back up in. You work on this thing. You do it. You're committed to it. You make a decision to do it because my faith is not going to work if my love is not in place. Now look at this. Matthew, let me get over there. What did I say, 22? Verse 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophet. Everything hanging on the love principle. Or love life. Everything. If you've ever hung curtains before, you know the most important thing about hanging curtains is to make sure the rod is in place. When I was in college, I tried to hang some curtain with some thumbtacks. How many of you know my success rate was terrible? Because the rod wasn't in place. I wrapped the shears around, wrapped the curtains around, put the thumbtack up, backed up, looked at it for a minute. Bam, it fell on the floor behind the couch. It fell on the floor behind the couch. My question tonight is your love on the floor behind the couch? Because that may be the reason why nothing else is working. Because everything hangs on that rod of love. The principles of faith. Faith hangs on that. Faith are the hooks. And everything else hangs on the hooks. Everything in the kingdom of God operates by faith, but faith operates by love. Let love equal the rod. Let faith equal the hooks, and then put everything else on the hooks. Prayer will be on the hooks. Deliverance will be on the hooks. Laws of prosperity on the hooks. Everything is on the hooks, but if the rod falls down, the hooks go with it. You follow me? Oh, brother, I don't understand. I've been praying. I ain't got no answer to my prayer yet. Is your rod on the floor behind the couch? Oh, that's why. Oh, I gave an offering. I ain't never seen 100-fold. Your rod ain't never been in place either, has it? See, the rod of love got to be in place. If faith is going to work, faith won't work if love's on the floor behind the couch. And I'm talking about even with your enemies. You don't have a right to hate. You have a right to love. You're not the only one that ever been hurt. You're still going to have to make a decision to operate in love. Why? Because there's something greater on the line than you. It can't be about you. Yeah, but you don't understand what I went through. And you don't understand what I... No. Let's die to self. Let's lose self. Let's deny self. And let's go ahead and say, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and walk into humility, and I'm going to do what the word says, because God's not interested in you loving him with your emotional feelings. He's interested in you loving him like this. Keep his commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. No. That didn't, like, this kind of word is not the word you get up and run around and, you know, woo, hallelujah, and talk about you had a revival. But if you listen to this stuff, you can have a revival on the inside of your heart, and stuff can start working like it needs to work. But that's where it is, ladies and gentlemen. So far we're talking about confidence. Check it. Secondly, we're talking about love rod. Where is it? Because we're trying to figure out why your faith ain't working. Because your faith ought to be working. You ought to have what you say. You ought to be able to move mountains. You ought to be able to pray stuff in. You ought to be able to bind and loose. You ought to be able to do all the things that the Bible says you're supposed to do. But authority in the believer's hands is also subject to the understanding of the word in his head. Because if you're going to walk with the head, the body going to have some understanding. We have authority, but we've got to understand how to use it, how to function in it, and how to do our part where it's concerned. Amen. Now, here's a point I want to get to where this faith is concerned. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Confidence. Love. Let's put this together, see what we get. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 26. If you're there, say amen. Verse 26 says, notwithstanding, you would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. Now, what is it that'll cause somebody to rebel against the commandments of God? Look at this. And you murmured in your tents. You didn't do it at church. You wait till you got home. You murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us, he hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Because of the Lord. They thought God hated them. They didn't believe the law. They thought that God hated them. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't believe that God loves you, your faith won't work. Why? Watch this now. Let me use this illustration. Taffy and some of my spiritual sons finally talked me into going on a cruise. I didn't want to go on no cruise because I figure all them animals out there, that's their house. And if I'm not invited, I don't need to be there. And I'm on the land, and that's my house. We respect one another. So I put them to the test. I said, unless y'all can find a room big like a hotel room, I ain't going. Well, they found one, so I went. So one night, we were on the top deck, and I heard all this water hitting on the window. And I woke up, and the first thing I thought about, I said, the Lord loved me. And I said, I believe God loved me.
And I heard it again. I said, the Lord loved me. I believe God loved me. The Lord loved me. The Lord loved himself some Creflo Dollar. Kind of woke Tap up. I said, how the water hitting us all the way up here? She said, baby, that's the man outside cleaning the windows. I said, oh. But here's what I thought about. I immediately went to my faith that God loves me. Now, why would I do that? Because if I have faith in God's love for me, I'll have faith in God's word to me. So whatever he promised me, glory be to God, I can have faith then because he loves me. You won't believe what somebody tells you if you don't believe they love you. If you doubt their love, you'll doubt their word. Oh, glory. But when you know that God loves you, then when you read, by his stripes I'm healed, you believe it because God loves me. So you go in, the doctor says, you got this. And you say, well, God loves me, and because he loves me, he'll heal me. But God loves me, and because he loves me, he'll deliver me. God loves me, because he loves me, he'll supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. You follow what I'm saying? So, real Bible faith is faith in the love of God. I believe his love. Real Bible faith. Faith that God loves me. Therefore, I don't ever have to doubt a word that he has spoken unto me. But when you don't believe his love for you, you will rebel. Because you don't believe his, you don't believe what he said. You don't believe no scriptures. You don't even believe, you don't believe he loves you. And what we got to do, we got to work on believing the love. You got to quit letting these preachers talk you out of your faith in the love. Well, you did this so God don't love you no more. That is against his nature. For God not to love you is for God to quit being God. Because God is unconditional love. Which means there ain't nothing you can do to stop him from loving you. So develop faith in his love. God loves me, therefore God will heal me. God loves me, therefore he'll prosper me. God loves me, therefore he'll promote me. Are you following what I'm saying? Real Bible faith is faith in the love of God. I am interested in you getting this enough to be able to produce some infallible proofs in your life, because in these last days, this is what it's going to take. People are going to need to see it working for you. Huh? They're going to need to see it working for you. You know, all that little goofy stuff we've been doing, they're going to need to see some infallible proofs. Christians that say, look, come here, let me show you evidence of what I'm telling you. Sit down, let me tell you a story and show you the end right here in my living room. Show you the end right here in my house. Show you that God will bring you out even though something real crazy happened in your life and hurt you. So, love never fails. Why? Because God is love. But now there was a prayer prayed in Luke 22:32. He says, I pray that your faith fail not. Well, the reason why it can fail is because, you know, ladies and gentlemen, if all these things are not in place, your faith will fail you. Actually, I don't believe faith ever fails anybody more than people fail in faith. You hear what I just said? Faith will work. And I think if you ever see failing, it's because we fail. Amen. Now, let me show you a couple more things and I'll be through. Matthew 16. This is a believer's convention, isn't it? Yeah. Huh? Yeah. How many of you believe? Yeah. Somebody shout, I believe.
I'm convinced, man, we just got to sit. We got to get this thing. You know what I mean? Got to get it.
in some of our lives and some of our churches. And I know especially for, you know, from the black church, I'm trying to really help bring my people out of this, you know, your emotions. And emotions are gifts. And God gave you those gifts, the gift of emotion, to enjoy things. But they got to be in line with his word. And not only blacks, there's some white churches the same way. But, you know, ladies and gentlemen, we can't fall prey to the psychology of unbelief. Somebody sitting up there singing a song that don't even line up with the word. Preach up there preaching a sermon ain't even out of book, it's out of the Time magazine or something. I go to some places to preach like this. I don't care if they fall asleep, they need to hear this. Maybe while I'm talking, they'll be dreaming about it while they're sleeping in church. This word got to be preached. Because I done spent that time whooping and hollering and doing all that. And the only thing that happened, I got tired. I got tired, real tired. Because I needed a little deliverance myself. You know, I didn't think I wasn't doing nothing if they wasn't swinging from the chandeliers. And then when I go look into their lives, then the life wasn't nothing. Wasn't nothing but a hoop and a holler, but didn't know how to get their bills paid, didn't know how to get healed, didn't know how to get delivered. Because it's meeting like this that take you line upon line, precept upon precept, digging that baby, make you look there and look and consider and check it out. But I thought having church, and I'm tired of having church too. I'm tired of having church. In fact, I had an altar call the other week at my church. Every year I have an altar call for everybody that won't leave. Why? It made the atmosphere once much better when you get all them devils out of it. If you want to leave, go on. You can go start your church, do whatever you want to do. Get out of here. You don't believe nothing anyway. You're just making me tired. Get out. And so I say, open the doors of the church for all of the people that want to leave so they can get up out of here and get out of my go. Leave. God bless you. Hello. Sometimes, man, you gotta prune that tree. Spiritual constipation, you gotta release some stuff. Hallelujah. Release it. Flush it out. I mean, they got kind of they're tired of doing that, getting up there, and you know, you go to some places and you got to, you know, get them going. And man, my throat was hurting. I said, if I keep doing this, I'm not gonna be able to preach past 50. Jesus is a rock in a weary land. He's a shelter in a time storm. I had two preachers one time. One preacher said, I bet I can make your church shout without even preaching the Bible. He said, it's on. Didn't even use one scripture. He says, I made your church shout without using one scripture. That boy got up there, he said, And the organ said, la, la, la. I remember the day, la, 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 when mama didn't have very much to cook. La, la, la. But Lord, she'd get the grease on the stove. La, la, la. And get that old rusty pan out. Crowd got ripped up, said, sad preacher. And mama used to take that lard and she used to move it back and forth and move it back and forth and
and tore the church up. Oh, talking about grease in the pan. I said, oh, no, oh, no, oh, no. We have been hooped at, we have been shouted at, we have been screamed at, but now it's time to open that Bible, read it, understand it, and let that Bible show you how to get healed. Let it show you how to get delivered. Let it show you how to get free. The just shall live by faith. You ain't gonna get no
faith if you ain't gonna get no understanding out of this. This ain't no place where you come see no show. I mean, you go to Apollo Theater somewhere, man. It's a schoolhouse, praise God. And school is incessant 5 times a day all the way to Saturday. Get it, eat it, digest it, and let it change the way you live. Woo. I don't care what they say about them. Don't bother me a bit. Yeah, don't bother me one bit. Say whatever you want to say. I don't bother me one bit. Not at all. I just go to the bank and make another deposit. I ain't studying. Not one. I'm so free. Woo, Jesus. It's almost dangerous how free I am. I'm free. It's dangerous to the devil. Free. You know what happens when a man is no longer in bondage to people? He can fully obey God. Without being afraid of what somebody gonna say. I did a television taping. I did several of them. I had the 2020 people, they call back, they say, we can't play that stuff because he ain't got no controversy. Because they said my last name Dollar. They told me my real name ain't Dollar, my real name Michael Smith. I said, what? I know my name. One guy got on TV and talking about me and Brother Copeland said, I know exactly how much money they got. They said that Creflo Dollar got $799 million and Brother Copeland got $922 million. You think I disagree with him? I said, yes, sir, brother. Preach on. Say it. Say it. Give me that account number. Way. What you say? Bible said, quickly agree with your enemy. Go on, say it. I ain't studying. I'm free, praise God. And that's what the love of God will do. The love of God is freeing. The love of God will make you free to be who you are. You ain't got to kiss up, suck up, or lick up no more. When you get the love of God working on the inside of it, it'll make you free. And whom the Son makes free is free indeed. And you're free to obey God. You're free to walk by faith. You're free to call those things that be not as though they were. You're free to meditate in God's word even when the symptoms are still on your physical body. Why? Because you know God loves you. What you say, boy? I ain't hiding my stuff. Care what you say. God been good to me. I'm going to die on any of that.
Well, I tell you what, one did he steal it from the church?
Well, I walk by faith, and faith prospers men when they do it in the love of God. Amen. Now, this may end up on YouTube or DoTube. I don't care. I ain't looking at it anyway. I better quit because I'm going to stay in love.
Amen. Let me show you what was it? Matthew 16. Let me show you this, and then we'll be through. We won't be through, but we just gotta stop. Matthew 16, verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." The Amplified says, if anyone desires to be my disciple, let him deny himself, disregard, lose sight of, forget himself and his own interests, and take up his cross and follow me, cleave steadfastly to me, conform wholly to my example in living and if need be in dying also. To deny oneself means to deny the thoughts, the emotions, and the desires that are contrary to God's word. To deny oneself means to resist the seduction and the influences that go against God's word. And now, every time you do that, and every time you resist that thing, you're saying to God, I love you. Not because you have an emotional feeling that loves God, but you're demonstrating through sacrifice. This is what I do. I resist because I love you. And you know what? When you deny self faith is free to work? You know, the lowest kind of faith is where you have to see something. The highest kind of faith and the highest kind of prosperity and the highest kind of prayer is when it goes from self to somebody else. When my faith is being used on somebody else's behalf. When my prayer is not just for me, but it's now intercession. When my prosperity is not just for me, but it's blessed to be a blessing. That's when it gets to the highest place. It's at the highest place when it's away from self and directed at others. And what'll happen, you'll end up getting blessed and all those other things. You don't have to worry about you. God will take care of you. And your faith will work. It's supposed to work. Well, I declare tonight, in the name of Jesus, that what wasn't working works. Say out loud, faith works. Say it again. Faith works.
Faith works.
Love works.
Love works.
The word works.
The word works.
Therefore,
I will be quick to repent.
Quick to forgive.
And quick to believe.
Say it again. I'll be quick to repent.
Quick to forgive.
And quick to believe.
In
Jesus' name. Every head bow, every eye closed, no walking, please. Father, we thank you so much for the word of the living God. For stirring our faith and putting us remembrance of your word. Oh, Holy Spirit, speak to these precious people tonight. Help them to do what needs to be done in their lives tonight. If you're here tonight and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I want to give you an opportunity to do that. If you were to die right now, where would you spend eternity, in heaven or in hell? Marvel not, I say unto thee, you must be born again. A lot of weird things going on in the world. And ladies and gentlemen, we're going to need to understand everything we need to know so that our faith can work. These are the days where great victories will be displayed in the lives of faith people, that this world will come to know and understand that our God's on the move and our God will fulfill every word that he spoke. And he's going to use us to do it. These are the days where the power of God's anointing will flow out of your life into the lives of others, and burdens will be removed and yokes will be destroyed. These are the days where we will now humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt us in due time. These are the days. So let's make the decisions that we need to make. Let's get in line with God's word without having to walk in phoniness or walk in fear. But humble ourselves before God and say, Lord, I'm going to fix everything that needs to be fixed. I don't want anything hindering you using me. If you're not born again, I want you to come to this altar. I want to have the privilege of praying the sinner's prayer and leading you to Jesus Christ. Secondly, if you're here and you want to recommit yourself to the things of God, recommit yourself to the word of God as your final authority. When it is your final authority, all arguments will cease at that word. Thirdly, if you've never received the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, I tell you, when you pray in tongues, you pray about things you don't know about. You release the wisdom of God to come up and upon your life to assist you and to make you smarter in every endeavor of life. Don't deny anything that God has prepared to give to you. Let him love you tonight. And by making decisions, you open the door for heaven to back you up. All I can do really, all any of us can do really is connect you to the word of God. All we can do is connect you to what it says
You're going to have to do your part. You're going to have to, in a sense, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. But tonight and in this meeting, you'll find a culture of care, and you'll find a culture of transparency, and you'll find a culture of come just as you are, a culture of compassion. So tonight, I'm going to ask you to stand in just a moment. And if you are not born again, get your Bibles and personal belongings and come on down front. Give me the honor of praying with you. If you need to rededicate or recommit yourself to the things of God, come on, man. I want to walk you to that place. And if you've never been filled with the Spirit of God, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, come on. We want to get you there. I want to do one more thing differently now. Once you stand, I want you to turn to somebody and ask them the three things I just asked. And if they need some help coming down, you bring them on down. Let's turn this place into a soul winning field tonight and give God the opportunity to use you to impact somebody else's life. Are you ready? Congregation, would you please stand at this time? And those of you who want to respond, would you please come at this time? Everybody else, turn and minister to those who are around you. If they need some help in coming down, help them come down. Make Jesus the Lord of your life, and those of you who are still coming, just come on. You are about to take a step into what we share tonight where eternal life is concerned. We're talking about eternal life being deposited on the inside of you. Not just living forever, but having the very essence of God imparted on the inside, and how He will make the difference in your life. He's a difference maker, praise God. And He can make the difference in your life. Praise God. If you're coming, come on. We'll wait on a soul. Come on.
For those of you who've come to make Jesus the Lord of your life, please give me the privilege and the opportunity of leading you to the throne of God. Congregation, you can join me if you'd like. Pray this prayer with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. Your word says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. So I know you won't cast me out, but you take me in. And I thank you for it. You said in your word, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm calling on your name. So I know you have saved me now. You also said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that he was raised from the dead for my justification. And I confess him now as my Lord. Because your word says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And I do believe with my heart. I have now become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And I am saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Those of you who come to recommit yourself to the Lord, repeat this after me. Heavenly Father, I love you with all of my heart, my soul, my mind, my strength, and I believe the love you have for me. I recommit myself to the word of God and to living by that word as my final authority. And I thank you for loving me and never giving up on me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. Praise God. Prayer room counselor. Ladies and gentlemen, those of you who came to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we're going to take care of that and other things in the back. If you have questions, these gentlemen are going to take you and give you biblical understanding of how to obtain and maintain what you came to receive. And we thank God you're never going to be the same again. So if you can turn this way, follow this gentleman here. He's going to lead you to the prayer room. And I tell you tonight, I believe that everything is going to be all right in your life. Amen. Congregation, don't you appreciate these decisions they made tonight? Amen. God bless you.